Former Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic says he's innocent of the charges leveled against him: abuse of power, illegal financial dealings, and corruption. Milosevic was taken into custody over the weekend after a tense standoff at his heavily fortified Belgrade compound. A Yugoslav judge ordered him confined for the next 30 days while the allegations against him are investigated. NPR's Silvio Poggioli reports from Belgrade.
The mood in Serbia is extremely calm. Government fears of a backlash from diehard Milosevic supporters have yet to materialize, and Serbs are beginning to assess the impact of the latest events. In Belgrade, this pensioner, a retired engineer, is aware that Milosevic's arrest must be followed by collective soul-searching by Serbian society.
It's only top of the iceberg. System is still intact, and it is a problem with the mind, what people mind, what is in their head. That's the problem. If you change a couple of people who are on top now, it doesn't change the mentality of the people.
Nevertheless, the image of invincibility that had surrounded Milosevic for over a decade has been swiftly deflated. And as often happens when dictators are publicly exposed, events descend into psychodrama and even ridicule. Details pouring in of the tense 36-hour standoff that preceded the arrest depict it as Milosevic's high noon. This is the scene described by government officials. Sedated by tranquilizers and whiskey and puffing a Cuban cigar, Milosevic, holed up in his walled-in compound, tried to comfort his wife and daughter. They were surrounded by heavily armed and drunken loyalists. The house was transformed into a fortress. Police later seized two armored personnel carriers, three submachine guns, one rocket-propelled launcher, two boxes of grenades and ammunition, as well as purported plans for an uprising later this month. The residence, built for the late Yugoslav leader Josip Broz Tito, has a warren of tunnels built as possible escape routes. But Milosevic really had nowhere to go. With his back against the wall, he brandished a gun, placed it against his temple, and threatened to kill his family before shooting himself. Finally, convinced by members of his own socialist party, a haggard Milosevic agreed to surrender. It was too much for his daughter Maria, known for her fragile nerves. As police escorted Milosevic to a parked car, she pulled a gun out of her bra, aimed it at the vehicle, and yelled, "Daddy, kill yourself, don't surrender." And in her distraught state, she fired off five shots toward the government official who had been negotiating for hours with Milosevic, but no one was injured. Just before dawn on Saturday morning, Milosevic, without handcuffs, was taken to Belgrade Central Prison. After fingerprinting and mugshots, he was examined by a prison doctor who diagnosed high blood pressure. Government sources say Milosevic's mental state is shaky. They say he doesn't understand where he is or why. As the events surrounding Milosevic's last stand are reconstructed, Justice Minister Vladan Batic told reporters that Milosevic was finally convinced to give himself up thanks to government assurances. He was told that the arrest would not lead automatically to his extradition to the International Tribunal in The Hague, which has indicted Milosevic on charges of war crimes committed in Kosovo. Batic, speaking through a translator, pointed out that Yugoslav legislation currently bans extradition of its citizens to another country.
And that concerning the extradition to The Hague of Slobodan Milosevic or any other citizen of Yugoslavia, we will be able to make decisions after the law of cooperation with The Hague is passed.
But demands for Milosevic's transfer to The Hague are pouring in. And today in Washington, the U.S. administration is expected to decide whether Serbia is cooperating sufficiently with the War Crimes Tribunal to receive $50 million in U.S. aid this year. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Belgrade.